that the happiest day of his life? Why was that the happiest day of his life? And you're going to tell me, the Rambam says that the highest level is appreciation of Chochmah, that's the highest level. The person enjoys knowledge, enjoys Chochmah. This is happier than enjoyment of Chochmah. You understand? I mean, this is hard to say. I mean, his whole life is the happiest day. I think it has to do with the definition of happiness. I think it has to do with the definition of happiness. See, the definition of happiness, happiness doesn't mean the most pleasurable experience. The definition of happiness is a pleasurable feeling insofar as a person's self is concerned. That's what happiness is. Yeah, insofar as a self. Happiness doesn't mean the most pleasurable. Pleasure and happiness are two different things. You see? Pleasure is a certain experience. Happiness is a specific. Happiness means pleasure insofar as a person's reflection on his own state. That's what happiness. Happiness is when a person reflects on it. Otherwise, it's not happiness. They asked him what the happiest day of his life is. It meant to say, when did you feel best about yourself? A person is happy, it means he feels good about himself. That's happiness. Happiness is not necessarily the greatest experience. See, the greatest happiness and blessedness are two different things. State of blessedness is where a person is involved in perceiving Chochmas Hashem. That's the highest and the highest experience, the most powerful experience. The way the Psukim describe it, and the Rambam is the most, it's the experience which is the most, and it takes up most of man's energy. It's the greatest experience. But that's not happiness, it's blessedness. Happiness is a different phenomenon. Happiness means insofar as reflecting on yourself. That's why they asked him, what's the happiest day of his life when he reflected upon himself? This is when he was happiest. You see, it doesn't mean it was the greatest day of his life. It doesn't mean the happiest day of his life and the greatest day of his life. Happiness is a specific definition. Okay.
Yes.
Because it's true. The story shows he doesn't have a complex. He doesn't have an inferiority complex. He doesn't consider himself to be a worthless person. And then, as a matter of fact, he's very happy with himself. You see? He's even happy with himself, positive ego. Because he's happy about himself, right? The only thing is that he's completely detached. He's detached. So the question is, that's very good. I agree with that. The only question is that why does the Rambam call it Shefal Ruach? Then the Rambam should say that is the median. That's the middle point. That's the midpoint. It's an interesting thing. So it says in Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Moshe Onav Ma'od, right? Now Onav Ma'od means he wants it means Shefal Ruach. It's an interesting thing. So it means in this area, it means perfection in this area is the other extreme. He says, yeah. What parak is it in Hilchos Deis? Perek Aleph of his Deus, he says that it's a chacham to be an Av. Anav is in between, it's a chacham. And Perek Beis, he says that you're not allowed to do that. Seems like a contradiction in the realm. I mean, from one parak to the other. It does seem contradictory, no question about it. Over here also, he says like this. V'yesh l'cho l'umod mimos rabbeinu, sh'yasholein b'maylos ha'egyonios v'amidosios, kulam nosef al-maylos ha'benevuah. Midos and kulam, nosef al-maylos ha'benevuah. Of the chachma, of the nevuah, of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is the head in terms of chachma, in terms of knowledge, in terms of prophecy, in terms of Torah. The shibko akosav mikulam b'midas anavah bovad, shenema v'ish Moshe anav ma'od. Okay, v'amru ma'od, moral anetiyah klatei akotza acharon. That's what he says over here also. V'chein kinsu omer v'nachnu ma'od. V'nachnu ma'od. V'nachnu ma'od. The Moshe and Aaron said, what are we? We're nothing. Nachnu ma. Who are we? We're nothing. So the Gemara says, the famous Gemara. Gemara says that Avraham Avinu said, Vanochi off of Eicher. I mean, Dovanoch said, I'm like a worm, Talas Loish. But it's still an animate creature. Avraham Avinu said, off of Eicher, it's a substance. Moshe and Aaron reached a higher level of self abnegation where they said, what are we? Nothing. That's why he calls it the pasuk.
But yeah.
But one thing you see, which you have to say is correct. And that is that by self-abnegation, it does not mean an inferiority complex. It doesn't mean inferiority. The story depicts clearly the person did not have an inferiority complex. Because he, on the contrary, is happy with himself. So what does it mean? It means that there is little or no energy going into his own, into concern about his own image. Very little. Very little energy. He's not saying not to have self-esteem. He's saying to have an absence of esteem altogether, to be in a state in which the category of esteem makes no difference. Not a low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is already a problem. I mean, there's something wrong with the person. But what do we do with a contradiction? With a contradiction, you see? I think you have to say it like this. You see, there's two, when you analyze man, so you have to analyze him in two frameworks. You have to analyze him from the psychological standpoint and from the philosophical standpoint. Now, the Rambam I'm saying is like this. A person has a certain, his psyche has a certain structure. And generally speaking, we say that in order for a person to live a good life, his psyche must be healthy. He has to have a healthy psyche. Now, the expression of the healthy psyche is moderation. An individual who's extreme, it shows there's some distortion, something wrong with the psyche. If he's extreme, extremism is indicative of compulsions and other problems of the mind. You see, that's why the moderation, the moderate individual, moderation represents a healthy psyche. Now, so we have to, in describing the perfect man, we must speak in two frameworks. In the psychological, the first we have to go to the psychological part of man, and we must make sure that psychologically he's healthy. Okay, then we have to deal with the philosophical man. See, the problem with today's psychologists is that psychologists maintain that there's nothing else but the psyche. That's where Yadlis disagrees. The psyche is certainly something that we respect and that we recognize. Many Chazal have discussed the importance of a healthy psyche, but that's not all that there is to man. Because the mind which gives man the ability to understand the psyche, that is something which is a metaphysical type of, which is a metaphysical essence. And there's a metaphysical part of man also. Okay? Now, what the Rambam is saying is like this. Where the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis that the person that's in the middle is a chacham, what he means is as follows. He means that man by nature, by the natural structure of his psyche, you definitely have to say that self-esteem is a psychological phenomenon. You see. And therefore, it would be natural for a person to partake of that esteem in terms of having a healthy psyche. He would partake of that esteem to a moderate degree. See, that would represent perfection of a human being as a psychological human being. As a psychological human being. Okay? But here the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that here we come into opposition with the human being on the philosophical framework. On the philosophical framework. In other words, if, generally speaking, there's no conflict. There's no conflict, generally speaking. That which is the healthy psyche is also the same framework that a person should be to be perfected in terms of this is a philosophical nature. You see. But there is an exception. The exception is when it comes to man's ego. That while from a psychological standpoint it would seem rational that a person should partake of his enjoyment of esteem, self-esteem in moderation, just like any other area, you see? And that's why the Rambam calls him a chacham. Because chachma dictates, in terms of chachma, he means as a psychologist. As a psychologist, a chacham would say that self-esteem in moderation, not an egomaniac and not a person who's totally the ego depleted, you see? But over here, the Rambam says the psychological man comes in conflict with the metaphysical man. Because if he is to partake of his psychological well-being and partake of esteem in moderation, there will be a defect in his philosophical makeup. Why? Because his philosophical makeup, he could never reach perfection unless he removes all energies from the self. Because in order to achieve perfection, the only energy there has to be is energy and appreciation of God and appreciation of his Chochmah. So therefore, in this case, we must say that all energies must be redirected insofar as humanly possible, and redirected and taken away from the self and totally involved in the Chochmah Salokim, so that your psychologically perfect man will not coincide with your philosophically perfected man. And in this area, a person should not strive for the middle road, because striving for the middle road would mean necessarily that he, it's true, in terms of laws of psychology, he will be very healthy. But as a philosophical human being, he will have to be necessarily imperfected, because any amount of energy which is directed towards the self has to detract from the objectivity. And that's why he says that you must go to the other side of shiftless aruch. By shiftless aruch, again, he doesn't mean inferiority. Shiftless aruch merely means a removal of the energy from the self, so that the self is not a concern. Like that person on the ship, he didn't even think about himself. He thought, look at amazing what this person is doing. Unbelievable individual. He's overcome by the psychological study of the other person, and didn't recognize at all his own that he was involved. The self was totally lost. You see? That's why the Rambam in Perek Aleph says that it's the individual is a chacham who has the middle road, he's a chacham, but you're not allowed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. Because being of psychological well-being in this case detracts from the philosophical man. There's two different men that emerge over here. You see? Yes, it's a psychological perfection. If you're treating a person like... Right. I would say that an honor first. The person has to have a normal psyche first before it can reach any perfection. So a person who just is depressed, or a person who is suffering from a inferiority complex, or a person who is suffering from egomania, any type of psychological disorientation, is not going to be able to reach perfection. He has to first be healthy psychologically, but once he is, then he should try to remove from himself the amount of energy that's directed towards that area. Okay. Now there's an interesting question. So it turns out that you shouldn't really partake at all of the luxury of psychologically enjoying your self-esteem. What's in the way?
As a goal or as part of the process?
Yeah, okay, so you have to explain why should I give other people kavod, and apparently perfection is total shiftless aruch, right? So then why should I give another person kavod and cater to this emotion that he has, which is to feel psychological self-worth, right? And why don't I? Mean, I'm really catering to a bad thing, I shouldn't do that. Now what's the answer? Things like this. I think it's an important principle in chesed. It's an important principle in chesed. Chesed, when I do chesed to another person, what is the basis? The basis of chesed is never to try to perfect the other individual. There was somebody in history that tried to do that, you know. Who was it? That was the Penina and Chana. Because the pasuk says, V'chiasata tzarasa gam kaz. If she used to aggravate Chana, she had children, Chana didn't, and she used to aggravate her. Why did she aggravate her? Bavur har umar, the pasuk says. In order to get her to pray to God so that she should be zoch and have a child. It was a very benevolent kind of thing. But you see what happened? She lost her children. The pasuk, the describe her as an evil person. Why? Because you're not allowed to deal with another individual on his, in terms of his perfection. As a philosophical being, that's his area. You have no right to enter that area. You can only deal with another person on a psychological level. You must supply him with all those things which he needs to be to have psychological well-being. His inner perfection is not your concern. That's not where chesed is, a psychological area. Chesed is not in terms of perfection. You can't do chesed. I won't say hello to this person so that it will become a great honor. You're not allowed to do that. You have to, on the contrary, you have to cater to him and make sure that he has all the psychological needs. Chesed is always in terms of psychological needs, never in terms of philosophical. It's an issue to do that. That was the Avera of Penina. That was our mistake. The only case you see, Rebbe and Talmud, it says, that a Rebbe is allowed to Zreik Mar B'Talmid. A Rebbe has a special right. No one else can do it. A Rebbe has a right to do it. And that's the case we mentioned once with the Chalamos, with Yosef. What right did Yosef have to reprove his brothers? Pasuk says, Layisko Yosef as a Chalamos. Because the Cholam has a Matir to do it. Otherwise, the person has no right. Nevuah is different. Otherwise, you have no right. That's what the Pasuk says, Layisko Yosef as a Chalamos. You remember the Cholam, then he was able to do it. Okay, so that's the, that's what it is. Okay. I wanted to finalize the Kal Vachomer. I know it's a, I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I'd like to just give the final formula for the Kal Vachomer, because it seems like an irrational Kal Vachomer. Because it's as if God gives a person COVID, so then certainly another individual will give another person COVID. But it doesn't make any sense, the Kal Vachomer. Because he says that God is not obligated to give him COVID altogether. You see. But what he means is like this, that if God gives a person COVID, even though he's not obligated to give him COVID, so it shows you he gives him COVID because he's his creator. And he realizes that this is a need of his. So Kal Vachomer, and a person who gives another human being COVID, and he's not his creator, he certainly will be appreciated. It's you follow what I mean? In other words, God, if a person gives God COVID, so God gives him COVID in return. Why? Not because God enjoys the COVID, but because of the fact that since the person is living properly, he's living properly, he's fulfilling his purpose, so God gives him COVID because as a creator, God gives man what he needs. That is the nature of God's, of God is, his perfection is that He gives his creatures what they need. Nisim lechem lechol basar is means that God, that's God's chesed stems from his perfection that he will not allow his creatures not to have what they need. That's the yisod in Kol HaTorah Kula. So therefore, God gives man COVID because he recognizes that he has the psychological need. So he gives him COVID as a creator. But if I give another individual COVID, I'm not obligated at all. I'm not his creator. So I'm not obligated to give him any COVID. So certainly he will recognize the fact that I am doing something totally voluntary, and he'll appreciate it and he'll return it. And he has an appreciation for it and he'll return it. That's the Kal Vachomer. That's the answer to the Kal Vachomer. There's no what? Giving COVID to God means Shakol Bar Lechvada. Baruch Alakenu Shebarana Lechvada. It means that the purpose of human existence is that the man should give cover to God. It doesn't mean he should give. It's like a little bit of a metaphor. It doesn't mean to give cover to God, to bow down before him and just give him cover. It means the cover has to stem from an inner recognition of his position vis-a-vis God. And it's a natural expression of his perfection when he gives God cover. It's a natural expression. That's what it means. If he lives the proper life, so then God supplies him of his needs. Okay. All right, so briefly, it comes out that this member, really, just to review once more, the member is broken down into, the member of the four things is broken down into, actually it's two, it's broken down in terms of two frameworks. And the first framework is broken down in terms of the mechanistic. Mechanically, it means that a person has to appreciate Chochmah, Ezel Chochmah, has to have the appreciation of Chochmah, and then he has to direct all his energies to Chochmah. That's in terms of mechanical. You see, psychologically, from the mechanical standpoint. That's why you have two perfections, Ezel Chochmah, and the second thing is Ezel Gibor. Alright, it means he directs his energy to that area. So by the way, I mean Yadus really has very little to say for a person who looks for a life of leisure. Sorry. A life of leisure and relaxation. This is not the model of Yadus. Point of Yadus, such a life is not simply wasteful, it simply has to be an unhappy life. Because the life, the only way that a person can achieve happiness in life is through an activity. Interesting. Aristotle mentions that too. He says that happiness has to be an activity. In order for man to be happy, it has to be an activity. So a person is just looking to avoid all of the pains in life and just relax, will find himself in an impossible situation. Because as long as he doesn't have something to direct his energies to, he can't be happy. Because what happens is that his energies must travel naturally towards the fantasies, which is an endless bottomless pit. The only person that can be happy, and according to Yadis, the only way, the primary ingredient of happiness is that a person, by happiness meaning a good life, is that a person has to have an outlet for his energies. And there's only one outlet, which is the only possible outlet that can give a man satisfaction, and that is chacham. That is chacham. No such thing as the life of leisure is a myth. Maybe part of the American dream, but it's a myth. It's an impossibility. Adam la'amal yivulad means man was created for work. Means there must be an intense activity with which he can expend his energy. If he has no outlet for his energies, then he has to be unhappy because the energy system is simply too great, and there's no way that he can enjoy life. A person can enjoy the beauties of life parenthetically. The only one that can really relax is a chacham, because when a chacham relaxes, his mind is active. His mind is active. But simply empty relaxation is an impossibility for him. Chacham can relax because his mind is naturally working. His mind is naturally working, so then he can be in a state of enjoyment. But if his mind isn't working, it is an impossibility. The draw of the emotions and the pull of the energy sources will naturally drive him into frustration. Yes? So you had the breakdown in terms of mechanically, then you had the breakdown dynamically, in terms of dynamics of the human psyche. In terms of dynamics, the breakdown is that it expresses itself in two ways. In one way, it expresses itself in terms of the individual being sameach b'chelko, meaning that he is not involved in the fantasies of the masses, which is basically expresses itself in an endless want and desire for materialistic goods, you see. And also, secondly, which of course we said is based on man's fantasy of immortality, and secondly, it expresses itself in the bein adam l'chaveiro, in terms of another individual, in terms of not being an individual who is competitive, not being a competitive individual, a person who is who lives in the world in which people, and to him reality is determined by what people consider reality. And that's Ezehu Mechubera Machabres Abrius. Because Kavod is considered to be a reality, basically simply because everybody accepts it. Everybody gets together and decides that this person is worthwhile, we'll feel elated. Why? Because his reality is not based upon what actuality is, but it's based upon what people think. That's the second expression of the in terms of the dynamics of the of the psyche. Dynamics, that was the thing he added. He added the Ezel Mechuban Machabras Abrias. Okay, so that's basically the number. Now it's interesting. There's another possibility I was thinking of. Because the question in this memra is that it says like this. The problem that the Rabbeinu Yonah was dealing with was, because it says Ezel Mechuban Machabras Abrias. The pasuk says, Shenema ki machab daya chabeid uvozaye kolot. So God says, those who honor me, I will honor. And those who show me disrespect, they themselves will eventually suffer disrespect. So the question is, what does it have to do with Ezel Mechuban Machabras Abrias? It's referring to God. So that's why the Rabbeinu Yonah worked out that whole pshat. Okay. But there's another possibility also. The other possibility is like this. That what it means is Zel Mechubid means, it doesn't mean Mechubid means that he'll be honored among other human beings, you see. Mechubid means that which a person seeks in covet. Why does a person seek covet? A person seeks cover because we mentioned there is a certain depletion of the ego that everybody suffers. It's a human situation. A person suffers constantly from the depleted ego. So when a person gets uncovered, it's the greatest sense of satisfaction because it fulfills that want that he has, an inherent depletion of the ego, you see. That's why I remember someone wanted to tell me a story that there's an individual who was, a very wealthy person when he was younger, very powerful individual in the financial world, and he became very old, he was in his 90s. So he was physically ill, and he was basically, depressed. And they made he was a big philanthropist in his day, so one time they made a dinner for him. And as he sat, on the platform, the dais, so he looked like he was a very old man, he was weak and sick, he looked like he was about to simply expire, yeah. But then when they called him up, to give him the award, he changed to a different person. He became 20 years younger. You see? The reason is because, of course, every person suffers from the depletion of the ego, and at that moment, that satisfaction is so great, the need is so great, the satisfaction is so great that it can simply affect his whole being. It's true. But there's no question about it, and the Chazal emphasizes that. Psychological is the most powerful force in the world. No question about it. It affects his well-being, his physical well-being, and everything else. But what it means like this, Ezeu mechubet amechaber sabriyas, means what does a person seek in cover? A person really seeks cover for the reason that he's suffering from the depleted ego. And because of that, he can't be mechaber sabriyas. Because if he's mechabed somebody else, he's giving somebody else that which he really desires. So it's difficult for him to do that, you see. But what it means like this, what he means is the person who is really perfected, a person whose life is not based upon what others think, not based upon the values of the society and the values of human beings, but a person who finds peace within himself because he knows what the ultimate reality is and knows what his position is in reality and is unaffected by what other people think, this person doesn't suffer from that illness, you see. And because he doesn't, he has a very good feeling towards the brios. And he can very easily be mechaber. Not only that, but because he's not in competition with them, and he's not involved in the petty striving, but he's above them, on the contrary, he has a feeling of rachmonis for them. You see, that they're in a state in which, unfortunately, they're unhappy. And because of that, he caters to that need, that tremendous need that they have, which is the need for some recognition, for personal recognition. But he is the one that is really mechubed. What does it mean, mechubed? Not mechubed socially, but mechubed in terms of reality. There's a realistic mechubed. There's two types of mechubed which man senses when he's honored by other people. It's a sense of cover. That's a psychological cover. That cover is very powerful, but also very short-lived. Because no one could be in a situation where he could constantly be supplied with that type of need, you see. It's very short-lived. The real cover is the person who has found, who doesn't suffer from the depletion of the ego, because he's simply out of this entire realm. And he's satisfied because he's living in the true world of reality, and his ego is totally satisfied. And how is it expressed? It has one expression. A mechaber sabrios. That is the sign of the happy person. He is the real mechubin. Real mechubin meaning that he achieves the goal that others are searching for in human cover. He achieves that goal realistically. You see, in his own mind. He is the real mechubed. And such a person is mechaber sabrios. There's no difficulty in being mechaber sabrios. It is the measure which demonstrates what the level of the person is. With this, you can understand what Chazal say, why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died, shelo no know the coverage numbers are. You say, she'll know the coverage numbers are. Say, all right, it's a small thing, so watch it. I mean, I'm sure they weren't openly disrespectful. They were the Gdolei Yisrael. But it means that they didn't fully achieve that level of perfection. It's a great, it's something which is not a small thing. Not the Chazal were trying to find a small thing. It's something which represents an inner perfection. It means the reason why they were amazed, they were great Talmid HaChonim, but they hadn't reached that level of perfection. And because of that, they were Chayav Mesir. Some want to say that it was because of Chilul Shem Shamayim, but it doesn't seem from the Gemara. I'm not trying to say that pshat is an untenable pshat, but there's another way to understand it also. That in the concept of a Mechaberes HaBrios, with that concept, if you can be Mechaberes HaBrios, that represents an inner perfection. That is the mark of the person, of the individual who has truly reached the level of perfection. He's not in competition with anybody else. He is totally satisfied because he recognizes his position in reality, and he's not searching for cover from human beings, because he is only in the world of reality in terms of his position vis-a-vis the Creator. That's a different kind of individual. The Mechaber is obvious. Oh, one second. So let me get to the pasuk. I'm sorry. Ki mechabdai achabed uvozayei kolo. What does it mean? Why is it a pasuk from God? Because why, when God is mechabed abrios? How is God mechabed abrios? Ki mechabdai achabed. Why should God be mechabed abrios? Doesn't make any sense. God should give man cover. Man is a mere creature of God. So why should he give him cover? The answer is, because God gives cover because he's completely removed. Not like a person gives cover. A person gives cover, he's involved, emotionally involved, with his struggle and his comparisons with others. But God is completely removed from that. He's mechabed simply out of his goodness. And the sign of perfection is Mahu Afata. Mahu Afata means just like that a person should relate to others just like God does. Mahu Rachum Afato Rachum. Afato Yerachum. It means to say a person should achieve that level of being abstracted from the competitive and the pettiness. Just like God is Mechabed freely, that's how man should be Mechabed freely also. That's why they call it the pasuk Mechabdai Achabed Uvozayei Kolo. That God is Mechabed out of it in a different way, a different kind of color. When man gives another person covered, he's emotionally involved. It's identification or whatever, some type of psychological involvement. But but God gives covered freely, completely removed, just objectively. He looks at another human being and sees that he has this need, and he's Mechabed him. He satisfies his need. So too, a person who's on the perfected level is mechabed another ben adam, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. Ki mechabdei achabed, it means mahu mechabed esabrios afator techabed esabrios. That's why the Mishnah quotes that pasuk. We don't have a simple ethic in our system. You see, other religions try to give man a simple ethic, try to create for man a simple ethic. But there's no such thing. If it was a simple ethic, then you wouldn't need all this Torah. You wouldn't need all this Torah. Obviously, since we have such an in-depth system, the answer is not a simple one. You see, the answer is not a simple one. And yet, when I say not simple, I don't just mean not simple. I mean more than that. In other words, the question boils down to this. The question boils down to, do we live in a universe that makes sense or not? You see? That's the question. That's the big question that confronts man. Does man live in a universe that makes sense or not? Now, that question is very difficult. Makes sense. In other words, does it make sense to us? The universe that we live in, the world that we live in, does it make sense to man? So, if you say that it does make sense, so then you have a lot of problems. Because you have, like, the problem that he raised. Why should 24,000 Talmidim die? Why should we have tragedies in life? Why should we have tragedies in life? So therefore, many philosophers said that there is no God. Less din, less dying. It's an old philosophy. It's not a new modern philosophy. It's an old philosophy. All the Chazal talk about it. As a matter of fact, there's a Ramban in the end of Bo. Maybe we'll discuss it a little later. It's an important Ramban. But the it's an Ibn Ezra even in the beginning of Parshas Vayera also. The question is, do we live in a world that makes sense? So then we have a lot of problems. We don't understand a lot of things. On the other hand, if we live in a world that doesn't make sense, if we should accept that we live in a world that doesn't make sense, so then you have a choice. Either you say it doesn't make sense because there is no Borei Olam, which means to say things just happen in a totally haphazard way, don't make any sense in terms of human life. There's no sense to human life whatsoever. It's totally senseless. So then we have to adopt a different way of life. If we say that it does make sense to God, but doesn't make sense to us, so then a person wouldn't be considered a kofer b'ikur, but nevertheless his life would be meaningless. Because it doesn't make, because at bottom he has to say that it doesn't make any sense. You see? So what good does it do? It makes sense to God, but it doesn't make sense to us. So what kind of a life do we have? You see? Yes. It's an important, maybe we ought to take it up, even though it's not directly on this member, but it's an important area. The Pasuk says, in yesterday's parsha, Va'era al Avram al Yitzchak al Yaakov v'kel shakai u'shmiyat Hashem lo nodati lai. Okay? So it's an interesting Pasuk. The Pasuk says, I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov v'kel shakai. Kel shakai means one is a shame. One shame. But u'shmiyat Hashem yitke v'ovke lo nodati lai. Alright? So what does the Pasuk mean? What does the Pasuk mean? I mean, you can just see from the Pasuk itself that there's some deeper understanding over there. What is it? Kel Shakai, Yitke Vavke. Something's going on in this Pasuk. I mean, it's not just a Sipra Maisa. Yeah, there's something, concept that the Torah is pointing to, the way it usually does. Okay? So the Ibn Ezra says like this. The Ibn Ezra says, and it's an interesting Ibn Ezra because it corroborates something that we one time said from the Rambam. You understand? In understanding, it gives us an explanation, something about explaining Ashgochas Hashem, and how it works, the Ashgocha. Of course, in understanding Ashgochas Hashem, we're at a loss. We're facing the same problem that I just mentioned before, because we realize that we can't understand Ashgochas Hashem. If we were on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, we can understand Ashgochas Hashem, then we wouldn't have the problem. On the other hand, if we're not on the level, so the question is, it's a waste of time. It's fruitless to try to understand it. I mean, the monosha. You either understand that you have no problem, or you understand you might as well go into the problem. You see? But so if that's the case, then you're caught in between. And that's the problem that we mentioned before. That if you say that the world makes sense to God, but doesn't make sense to us, so what good does it do us? So Yadus has an answer. Yadus has an answer for that. So Yadus has an answer to that dilemma. Okay. Let's take a look at what the Ibn Ezra says. The Ibn Ezra is like this. He says, So like this. Va'ato agala l'chok tzas sod kel shakai. He says, now I will reveal to you a bit of the secret of what Kel Shakai is. Okay? Alright, he says like this. Yadanu ki Hashem bara gimel olamos shehizkarti. And he says like this. Right, let's leave out the gimel olamos. He says like this. Va'olam ha-shofal, he says. Olam ha-shofal means the world that we live in. Right, we'll soon see what that means exactly. Yekabel koach me olam ha-tichon. Kol echod me'aprotim kefi ma'areches ha'al yona. Alright? It would be nice if we could understand ketzas of what he's being megala, the ketzas of. Alright. Right? He says, ובעבור כי נשמע שעודם גבוה מן העולם האמצעי, אם הויסו הנפש חכמה והכירה מעשי השם שהם בלא אמצעי ועל ידי אמצעי, והניחו טייבס העולם השפל, and it left the taivas of the lower world, this bodhido ledovka b'shem ha-nechbot, and the soul of man tried to partake, tried to cleave to the shem ha-nechbot, the world of the shem ha-nechbot, im yesh b'mareches ha-kochovim, b'eis ha-heryon ro'a she-tova olav b'yon yadua, if at the time that a person was conceived, there was in the stars, so to speak, in the heavenly bodies, okay, if there was something evil that was supposed to occur to this person on a given day, interesting in about it. Something like that. Hashem shedavak bo, God, who he has clung to, yesabe sibos latzilo mera'oso, will affect different causes to save him from his evil. The kocha, im yesh b'ma'arocha sheyiyah akar, if, for instance, he's supposed to be childless, Hashem yisakin lo koach toldoso v'yolo. God will improve his generative, his reproductive faculties, and he'll be able to have a child. Al kein amr chazal she'Hashem amal avram, tzei me'itztagninus shalach. Go out away from your astrology, okay? The core of Mizan Tam in Mazal Yisrael. And this is very close to what Chazal say, that the Jews don't have any mazel. All right? Not the way people think mazel. Va'od avazeh b'parshas kisiso. Al-kein omar Hashem l'Avram kodem v'arbe zaracho. That's why God said to Avram before he said that he'll multiply his seed. Ani kel shakai. Shepirusho, what it means is Minatzeach Hamarochos El Yonos, that God overcomes the heavenly earth, right? Lo Shehamarocha Tishaches. It doesn't mean that the heavenly earth will be destroyed. He says, he makes a point of that. Doesn't mean destroyed. Rak Sheyeda Hidovek Bishmo Shemischadesh Lo Tov Shelo Yia B'Marachta. But he who clings to God, will something good will be generated, and that is not in his planned given order. Okay. Yeah. Al kein omar Yaakov hamalach hagoel osi mikol ra shoyo nochon lovo alai. That's what it means. Hamalach hagoel osi mikol ra. It means the malach hagoel osi mikol ra. What does it mean? It means to say that there was an intervention in the natural order. Okay? He says, Shoya nochon lovo alai, because he was on a level where he was in constantly under the Ashgacha. See? He says, sod kol ha-Torah, kasher farashot. This is the sod of the entire Torah. I'll show Ramban that says something very similar to what they've been doing. As a matter of fact, Ramban on this, Ibn Ezra says, usually Ramban criticizes Ibn Ezra. But over here he says that he was right. The only thing he says is Niba v'layada mash Niba. Okay, a little bit of a criticism, but basically he agrees with what the Ibn Ezra says. What the Ibn Ezra is saying is as follows: you see, it means that it explains our whole attitude towards the Hashgachas Hashem. It means that Hashgachas Hashem is not a magical kind of a thing, the way people understand in a childish sense. If I do good, then magically God just steps in and he's going to save me. It's not such a simple thing. If it was a simple thing like that, so then this wouldn't require a whole elaborate system and understanding Ashgacha and Moshe Rabbeinu and Nevuah and the whole thing. It's a simple thing. It's not a simple thing because we say that because God works according to a system of Chachma. As anyone who studies the universe can see, there's a system of law, a system of order. There is some order in the universe. There's an inherent logical order in the universe. Once you attempts to say there's no inherent logical order, people will see my position, and it's worthless to investigate, then the science is gone, and there's no more knowledge, and that's it. But those who pursue knowledge have to maintain that there is some underlying order that man is trying to perceive or to partake of. Now, what he says is like this, that there is an underlying system, and this underlying system, that's what he means, Marechas HaShemayim. Marechas HaShemayim doesn't mean astrology, but he means that there is a law of nature which dictates details, and the details that we experience are a result of that fixed law. Yeah, cause and effect. Cause and effect. I'd rather say order, because cause and effect you can get involved with them, but it's a certain given order, okay? Now, what he says is as follows, that this order stems from the world in which God created, okay? But the particulars conform to a certain order. But the source of the order of the particulars is a certain chokhmah. In other words, there is chokhmah that dictates why particulars should occur in a certain way. It's not just haphazard. So every particular can be traced to a source of chokhmah. It's not just a particular. It's an expression of the whole system of chokhmah, of abstract chokhmah. Now what Yadus maintains is that this abstract chokhmah really governs the universe. This abstract chokhmah stems from God. Now, since the universe is governed, the particulars are governed by chokhmah, and chokhmah has priority because it's responsible for the particulars. So a human being, when he partakes of chokhmah, is moving into a different realm metaphysically. He's moving into the realm of that. He makes contact, so to speak, with that which is the source of the particulars. That's what it means when he leaves the tithes. Because the tithes are particulars. Every tithe. Particulars. But that is not the real world. The particulars are the sensual, those things which we sense are a result really of a whole system of chokhmah. And the fool is the man who thinks that the particulars are the real because they give him certain satisfaction. And because of the satisfaction, he's attracted to it and his mind tells him this is the real. But the chokham is the person that recognizes those things are not the real. They only result. Even our sense perceptions are a result of intricate chokhmah. So the world of chokhmah is really that which is responsible for the existence of the particulars. A person who is involved in the world of taiva isn't just that he's involved in taiva. It means that he's metaphysically corrupt, you see. Because he's involved in a world which to him he applies reality to, that this is the essence of life and this is that which is real. When actually it's not so. Anyone who has knowledge knows that his very enjoyments are dependent upon certain structures of his nervous system and how they relate to the external world, which is a whole complex system of chokhmah. The man of taiva is the man who's involved in particulars. He's the man who's away from reality. It's not just that taiva per se is bad. It means he's away from what reality is. And the person who's involved in reality is involved in the world which is responsible for his very physical enjoyments, you see. But a person who's involved in that world suddenly turns away from the world of the sensual and recognizes that this is nothing. This is just an expression of a whole world of chokhmah. He recognizes the reality of the world of chokhmah. Now, what the Ibn Ezra says is that what Yadus tells us is that if man is involved in the world of chokhmah, he makes a step from the physical to the metaphysical, and he partakes of that which is responsible for the particulars. Now, once he makes that step, you see, So he's in the world of ideas, in the world of Chochmas Hashem. His relationship to God changes. He's moved out of the world of the Ma'areches HaShemayim. He's moved out of the world of the particulars, you see. And he's moved into a different relationship, metaphysically, to God, which is God who is the source of all that exists. Since he has moved, man, through his machshava, through his mind, through his intellect, can actually determine in which world he is, metaphysically. You see? Either he's in the physical world, if he's in the physical world, then he's subject to particulars, just like any other particulars. But if he, with his tzelem elokim, with his intellect, he moves into a different world, now his relationship to the Creator has changed. And he is in that world which is responsible for the world of particulars. Since he has moved into that world, he's not under the control. He's not under the influence of that world of particulars. Exactly. He's not under the influence. He is, so to speak, bypassed. You see, he stepped above the world of particulars, and he's related to God because he's involved in the world which is the source of the world of particulars. Then he's not anymore under the influence of the world of particulars. You see, he's not under the Ma'areches HaShemayim anymore. He says, that's what the Ramban says, that's what the Ibn Ezra says. And the Ibn Ezra says, that's why he says that he isn't subject to chance anymore. Chance is an expression of the world of particulars. That's what it means, Ein Mazel Yisrael. Mazel means chance. Chance, the throw of the dice, the world of chance. So Ein Mazel Yisrael means that since the Jews are metaphysically different, they believe in a reality which is beyond the physical, which is responsible for the expressions of the physical that we observe, so therefore they stand in a different relationship to the source of reality. And that's why once they move into that realm, they're not under the influence of the particulars, but they are, so to speak, in a direct channel with the world of with God, and therefore they relate to God in a different way, and that's why they're not subject to the world of particulars. That is basically the outline that the Ibn Ezra. That's like this. That's what Ibn Ezra like this. He says, "Vizehu." Yeah. That's what it says. Lo shema harocha tishoches. It doesn't mean that the world of chance is gone. It says, "Rak sheyeda hadovik b'shno shemischadish lo tov shelo yeh b'ma'arachta." And that's the concept of hashgacha. Hashgacha means that man can step out of that world of particulars and be in direct, under the direct influence of the source of the world of particulars. Therefore, is not subject to that world anymore. He's metaphysically in a different position. V'zeu sod kol haTorah, and this is the basic principle of the entire Torah. He says. And that's the concept of the avos. V'hinei ha'avos lo higia ma'alosam l'dofka b'shem k'moshe asher yido Hashem ponim b'ponim. They weren't on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was a different level. He says Moshe was yido Hashem ponim b'ponim. That's the shame havaya. The shame of Kel Shakai is the shame of Ma'areches. Is the shame which is Ma'areches HaShemayim. It means that they rose above the level of particulars, and they were in line with the cause of the Ma'areches HaShemayim, with the world of Chochmah, and therefore they were under the Ashgacha, and that's Sod Kol HaTorah Kula. And it is Sod Kol HaTorah Kula because it is basically the metaphysics of Yadis. This is the metaphysics of Yadis. To say that thought is just a tool, you see, for man is, if a person should say that, he has no part of the Torah. In thought, thought is not just a tool. Thought is an uncovering of the source of reality. And in doing so, man relates to God, because he relates to that which is the cause of particulars, and he rises above the world of the particulars. Okay? But he says like this. He says, that was the level of the Eros. Va'erol Avram Yitzchak al Yaakov b'Kel Shakai. It means they understood Kel Shakai. They were in the world of Chochmah. But Ushmiyar Hashem, Yudke Vovke, Lona Datulan. Only Moshe Rabbeinu knew that shame. What is that shame? He says like this. Al Kain Hoye Yocho Moshe Leshanos Toldos Olam Ashachal Ulechadesh Osos Umosum Shlo Yochlu Ha'avos Lechachim. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one that was able to actually do miracles, Osos Umosum, which the others couldn't do. That's what it means. So you see, simply the way the Ibn Ezra explains, that's the pasuk very level. It's a totally different level. And you see, the Rambam agrees with this Ibn Ezra in Hilchas Chametz and Matzah, where he says, "Van nisim shenasu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu." That's what the Rambam says. Nisim shenasu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. It means it wasn't just that Moshe Rabbeinu happened to be a person at the time. God chose somebody at the time. He chose Moshe to do the nisim. No. It says, what it means is, only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do those nisim. That's what he says. Asher yedo Hashem pano panam, al kena yocho Moshe leshanos toldos olam ha-shofel v'chadesh osas umotsum shelo yuchlu ha-avos l'chashem. Yavos were not able, shelo yuchlu ha-avos l'chashem. Yavos couldn't do that. The Yavos were under hashgacha, but they weren't able to make any changes. Now, what exactly that means, I mean, of course, is difficult for us to understand what exactly it means. Because we have no concept of it. If we had a concept, it would be on the level. Be on the level. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just give you at least a basic understanding, okay? What it means is, I mean, descriptively, you'd say like this, that in terms of Chochmas Hashem, so to speak, a person could be either on the level of a Chefza or as a Gavra. In other words, like this, that the Avos, so to speak, See, the Avos partook of Chochmas Hashem, and in partaking of Chochmas Hashem, their position changed vis-a-vis the influence of the Kippur. Okay? But that's still like a Chefza. In other words, he's a different type of person. He's in a different realm. But Moshe Rabbeinu partook of Chochmas Hashem, so to speak, as a Gavra, which means that he was able to, almost like Chazal say, a Shita Flamakom. I mean, that he's able to manipulate the laws of nature. He's in a different realm. This, we can only describe it. We can't really understand it, because obviously if we understood it, we would be on a different level. We wouldn't have a problem. But I want to say it like this. You see, an important thing you see is like this. This really answers the question that we started out with. The question is, what does Yadus maintain? Does the world make sense, or does the world not make sense to a human being? And the answer is as follows. The answer is that the world makes sense to us in a strange way. It means like this. It simultaneously makes sense and doesn't make sense, but that's descriptive. You have to give a better answer than that. But it means like this. That we say, Kilo machshavosai machshavoseichem v'lo darcheichem d'rochai. Ki govu shamayim me'aretz. Ki govu d'rochai mid'archeichem machshavosai machshavoseichem. So it means like this, that there's a qualitative difference between God's machshavos and man. So even the greatest, most brilliant individual, in comparison to God's chachma, is nothing. But it means like this, that we, if that's the case, then what's the purpose of knowledge? Somewhere in human knowledge, there is a reflection of God's chachma, you see. Where precisely it is, we don't know. The greater the chacham, the closer he can approach it. But the yesod of Yadus is that two things. The world makes sense to us in the sense that we know there is a divine order. We know there is a divine order. Not only do we know there is a divine order, but we know that in Chachma we are partaking of it to some degree. You see? So that it's not that we say that the world makes sense to God and doesn't make sense to man. Because if it didn't make sense to man at all, then we'd have no shaykhs to it. To say that it does make sense to man is false as well. Because to say that it does make sense to man would mean that we can understand it actually makes sense to us. And that is not true, because we see things that occur that don't make sense to us. But we know there is, we know be, our mind tells us that there is a sense to it which we partake of to a certain degree insofar as we employ our tzelem elokim. You see? That is the way we understand the universe. That's why, for instance, we say that when a person kishem shemavochen ala tov, kach mavochen ala ra. So halacha is that if the Rambam says, and then mentioned a week ago, Rambam says that if something tragic occurs to a person, he has to make a bracha, die in her MS. For some reason, we only make it for a veilas. But the truth of the matter is, every bad shmoy is supposed to make that bracha, al pi halacha. But the Rambam emphasizes that you're supposed to make the bracha, the simcha, and the tuv lev, as if just as much kishem shemarachim. The Gemara doesn't say, he wants that kishem means exactly the same word. How could a person be so happy when it's something that to him it seems tragic? The answer is because he knows that in the real world, this really is a good thing. Very good thing. Even though it doesn't make sense to him in his emotional world. You see? So there's an obligation, you see, in Yadus to even attach the emotional life to that concept. To that concept. Yeah, obviously. It's not a simple thing. But the halacha has to deal in terms of the what is the absolute. And the halacha tells you what a person should do. Obviously, it's very difficult for an average person to do such a thing. But it means that our emotions should be attached to an underlying reality which we know exists and which we know we can only partake of to a certain limited degree. But we know enough to know that it's there. You see? We know enough to know that it's there. It's like, I think it was Albert Einstein that said, that we know enough to know that there is an order, there is a system of order beyond what we see. We know enough to know that. Because we have so many problems to say. Maybe the problems outweigh the solution, so the whole thing is crazy. So we might as well just abandon, because as you keep advancing in science and knowledge, you see more and more problems. But we know enough to know that there is something behind there which is an order. That's the exact same thing which Yadus maintains. But Yadus takes that premise and attaches it to our daily lives and says in the same manner as in the world of science, in the same manner in the world of human life, we know enough to know that there is a divine order behind everything that we see, even though the problems are tremendous. But we know enough to know that there is a divine order behind that, and that's Hashgachas Hashem. You see? The Ramban says in the end of Bo, a similar concept. He says like this. It would seem like a contradiction almost between two Rambans, because he says the purpose of Nisan, what is the purpose of the Nisan in Mitzrayim? Because all the purpose of Nisan in Mitzrayim is to know that there is a God. To know there's a God. Why? Because if you maintain, like Aristotle says, or like the Prophet maintained, so you say the Olam Kemenog Anoeg, which means to say that the world has a fixed order and that's it. But once we see that God makes a change in the given order, so now you know that God relates to man, and you know that there is something beyond the given order. Okay, Ramban says like this. It's a long Ramban, but it's a beautiful one. You should take a look at the. He says like this. He says, "V'atam alalcha klal b'tam mitzvos rabos me'ei seyos avodas elilim ba'olam me'ei enosh." He says, from early times, so there were a lot of mistakes with regard to Amuna. He says, Mayam Kofim Biker, some deny God completely. Roman Kiolim Kadmon. That the universe works, Olam Kan Hagan Oig, and there is no God. Kichashu Bashem, Yomer Lohu Lo, mehem akishim b'yaso apratis. Some say that God doesn't know particulars, but he knows universals. Different, various philosophies. Amru eicha yeida keel v'yeish de'abelya. Umehem sheyodu b'yadiyo makishim ashgacha. Some say God knows, but he doesn't really, he doesn't intervene. He doesn't judge the world. Okay? V'yasu adam kigei ayam. The same man, and man is like the fish of the sea. Because God doesn't have any ashgacha on the fish. This works with, according to the laws of nature. He says, that God deserted the land. That's why God gave him Moses, to show that this is not true. Because if you maintain that way, so then there couldn't be any miracles. Miracle means the direct intervention. It shows God's Ashgacha. So that's what he says. So he says that that's the purpose of the Moser. He says, and it's further proven when God sends a Navi to tell us in advance what is going to occur, like by Moshe Rabbeinu, Morash Yesh Lolam Aloka, Machacho V'yodea Mashgiach, the Yochol, the Kasheyah, Mofes, Ahu, Nigzat, Chilum, the Pinavi, is barring men of Oda, meet the son of Ruach. Kidaba, Lakimas, Odom, Yigaba, Sodo, Lavada, Ranavim, he reveals the secrets of the Navim, the Skyim, the Tiskayim, and calls that Kolotokula. Now, I say like this. He says, that's why it says by the Moshe, Maman, Teda, Kini, Hashem, the care of Oret. That's the purpose of miracles. Lahoros, O Ashgacha. To show one idea of the Ashgacha. Kilo, Ozav, Oso, Lemikrim, Kedaitan, that God didn't leave the world a chance. Now he says like this. He says, and he goes through, I mean, since God is not going to make miracles in every generation, just to show every Russia, every kofa that is wrong, he says, Yitzav osana shenasa tamid zichron. So that's why he said that he commanded us to do something which will be a remembrance for the osos that occurred at that one time. That's the whole reason that Yitzis Mitzrayim is so important. All the time, Yitzis Mitzrayim. Every day, Yitzis Mitzrayim, all the brachas, and what's the purpose? Yitzis Mitzrayim is all one idea, Ashgacha. V'chein koch yotze ben mitzvos rabo, zeichel Yitzis Mitzrayim. V'akol yoslanu b'chol adoros edus b'movsim shalai yishkichu. V'lo yepischon pelakofa lahakhish emunas olakim. Says Kiakon and Mezuzah, Bezuzah Echad, a person buys a Mezuzah with $1, the cover of the Pisco and attached to his doorpost, and his Chavim Ben Yonah, Farhoda Bechidish Olam. He immediately, by this action, is testifying to the fact that God is the creator. B'yadiyas HaBorei, that God exists, Vashgachasa, and also that he's Ashgacha, Vayam Shemaitis Ron Mitzvesa. The Gam Ben Nevuah, also it shows Nevuah. V'hemen l'chol pinas ha-Torah, m'uvad shehoda shechesed ha-bori ha-gadu l'yosu ma'od, ha-losu ritzono shel-tzion me'osu avdus l'cheres. Okay. Now it's like this. He says, the kavonas kol ha-mitzvah shenamin be'lokeinu v'node lov shehu bora anu. So the purpose of all the mitzvahs is that we should recognize that God is our creator. V'kavonas ha-yitzira. That's the whole purpose of the creation. She'in lo notam acha b'yitzira rishona. There's no other reason for the yitzira. That is the only objective that a man has in his life is knowledge and recognition of God as his creator. The kavanas ramos hakol betfilos, the kavanas bate kneisios, uschus tfilos arabim, zeh shiil of nei adam makom shiskatsu v'yod lokel shebron and sealing. As far as all the whole reason we have a shul, we have everything, the whole center of Yad is all for that purpose. And I say like this. He says that he says, and from the great Nisan, here's what he says, the great Nisan that I'm for some other mode of Nisan on a star. Through that person, a person comes to recognize Nisan on a star. Nisan on a star is Hashgacha. There's a difference between Hashgacha and a Nis. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. Hashgacha means insofar as the Melech HaShemayim, that he's under is directly under God's Hashgacha. But Nisan is different. Nisan means a change in the Teva, change in nature. That's only Moshe Rabbeinu. Different kind of a thing. He says, She'ein Yisod HaTorah Kula. She'ein La'odam Chelek B'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have any part in the Torah Moshe. Ad She'namin B'chol Dvarenu U'mikrenu She'kulam Nisan. Ein Bo'em Teva. That they're all Nisan. There is no Teva at all. Okay. Now, it seems from this Ramban is a direct contradiction to another Ramban. Because Ramban says in Bereishis, he says that man isn't always under the Ashgacha. He says that only if he says Ene is not affected towards the pasuk. Ene Hashem al Yireo. That man is under the Ashgacha only if he's Yireo Akim. Ene Hashem al Yireo. And over here the Ramban seems to say exactly the opposite. Somebody mentioned they noticed that it's on Chevelle's edition and he noticed the contradiction. So it seems like another contradiction. But say like this. He says he says over here that there is no such thing as Teva. Whereas in Bereishis he says that man is subject to Teva, to the laws of nature, only at certain intervals God deals with him directly. But at Tzaddik, the Pasuk, what does it mean, Hashem Alirev? God's eyes are upon the righteous. It means to say that the righteous are under the Ashgacha constantly, like the Ibn Ezra explains, because they're on a different plane, a different level. They relate to God in a different way. They're on a metaphysically different stature. So the answer is like this, I believe. The answer is like this. You see, it's an interesting thing. But we say in the Tefillah, we say like this. In the Tefillah, we say, Tola Eretz Al Bima. And it's an interesting thing. Astronomy, sure, the Rambam says that there was an astronomy, an ancient astronomy that we had, which would seem to be from Sinai, that there was a certain astronomy but that we had originally, with Chochmas HaTorah. But this astronomy, the Rambam says, was lost. And therefore, the Rambam says that all the astronomy that we have, and the calendar that we have, and the Kviyas HaMoadim, and everything that we have, is all based upon Greek knowledge. That's what the Rambam says in the Hilchos Kiddush HaChadosh. So all the Yom Tovim and everything are all based upon Greek mathematics. But the Rambam says that that doesn't matter, because it says if something is true, so we don't care who said it, whether it's a Navi or whether it's a Goy, doesn't matter. Our obligation is to work completely according to knowledge. But you see, the Rambam does mention that there was such an astronomy. But regardless, the pasuk, certain things you see, we do have certain things do have. For instance, the idea of Tola Eretz Al Bima. Now, the ancient astronomers didn't really astrologists. Way back when the Torah was written, they didn't know this idea, this fact of Tol Eretz Al Bima. What does Tol Eretz Al Bima mean? It means the world hangs in emptiness, in empty space. It's suspended in empty space. But they weren't aware that the world was suspended in empty space. They thought that the earth is flat, and that if you go down, this is built on that, and there's a solid structure. See? But this concept of Tol Eretz Al Bima is a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk in the Torah. Now, why did the Torah see fit to convey to us this idea of Tol Eretz Al Bima? And so we say it in the Tefillah, and we're showing you. Tol Eretz Al Bima, why? What's the idea of Tol Eretz Al Bima? What it means is like this. It means that human knowledge, you see, what we consider satisfying to us is that which we are used to. We're used to certain things that make sense to us, you see. Tol Eretz Al Bima doesn't make any sense. Because we see when a person from early youth, he's raised to see that what? So, Tol Eretz Al Bima means to say that God's knowledge is of a different kind. Not the kind that we feel emotionally comfortable with. You see? So that which makes sense to us really stems essentially from that which we're used to. But God's knowledge is of a different nature. That inherent belief that God's knowledge is of a different nature and is not something that makes sense to us emotionally is the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. When the Ramban says, in everything you do, Ein Bohem Teva Klal U'Menhagel She'olam, he doesn't mean to say that there is no such thing as laws of nature. That's the Ramban says himself, that there's laws of nature. It's a simple Dovri Dor. It's a Pasuk. Chukas Shemayim V'Oretz. There's laws of nature. And so far as we are concerned, the Ramban says that man, unless he's on a high level, he's subject to the laws of nature. But what he means to say is that there is no Koach HaTeva. There is no Koach HaTeva. Koach HaTeva means a certain power of the Teva which people attribute to Teva. They feel comfortable with an idea there's a certain power of Teva, which means that they sense it in a way that seems to make... That's nature. That's nature. Nature seems to make sense to them, because it's an idea which makes sense in their minds, you see? The Ramban says that that is not true, because nothing really makes sense to us. In other words, in truth, nothing really makes sense. What we consider makes sense means something which we are satisfied emotionally. That doesn't exist, because God's knowledge is completely away from any kind of thing that may... That which satisfies us emotionally... See, a child will ask a question. Why is it so? Why is it so? A lot of times a child doesn't stop. Why? Parents are crazy. What do you mean, why? What is he asking? The reason is because for the parent it makes sense, because the parent has accepted it over a number of years. This is the way it works. That's it. What are you asking? But the child is young, he doesn't know. So he keeps asking why. And the parent gives him an answer, why this? And why what? But the truth of the matter is that there is no answer, no satisfying answer. A satisfying answer is only satisfying because we're used to it. We get satisfied. But God's knowledge, what the Ramban means is kulam osos umofsan, osos v'nisan. It means to say it's in a totally different way that everything, if we really had total knowledge, everything would be astounding to us. We'd walk outside, we'd see a tree, it's astounding. Is everything is astounding. Because all around us is Chochmas Hashem, and everything, there is nothing that a person can feel complacent about, because it's only because he is used to it that he accepts it. You see? But the truth of the matter is the existence of a tree, the existence of walking out and seeing the sunshine in the sky, if we would really think about it, we shouldn't feel comfortable about it. It's all It's all Tolera Tobleva. Every manifestation is astonishing. It's a world in which this doesn't make any sense to us, you see, in the framework of being satisfied, in what we call making sense. When people say it makes sense, it means they feel comfortable with it. There's no such thing. Because Chochmas Hashem is in a totally different plane. What makes sense to us is that little bit which we experience, so we come to accept it. But really, Tol Eretz Ablima. Tol Eretz Ablima means that God's Chachma is in a completely different framework, not in the framework that makes sense. Kulam Osas, Osas, Kulam Nisan. Kulam Nisan means it's a totally different realm. But what do we have? We have within ourselves the ability to perceive, to partake to a certain degree of that Chachma. There is something in man that partakes of that ultimate Chachma. To a certain degree. We know enough to know that we can partake of it to a certain degree. And that's the concept of the bracha. Kishem shem avarchem, when a person makes a bracha on something which is a tragedy, he has to make it the simcha, the tuv lev, because he knows enough to know that there is an order. And that order affects not just the world of physics, the abstract world of the physical world, but also the world in which we live as human beings. And that's what the Ramban says in the Ibn Ezra, that's the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. That a person who denies this does not have any chelik in Teras Moshe. And that's why the constant repetition of Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim, because God is not going to do Mosin for every generation, for every Russia, to disprove him. But it was done one time simply to demonstrate to the world such a thing. And if a person doesn't accept it because it wasn't done, it wasn't to him, so then he's simply following his emotions, and he's not following reason, and God simply can't do anything for him. But basically, that's the sort of Kol HaTorah Kula. Does the world make sense? The answer is, we know it makes sense. We know enough to know that it makes sense, in the eyes of God. You see, that much we know, and that is really the concept of the that's the sort of kol tarkuva. That's concept of Hashgacha. Yes. That's what Ramban says. Oh yeah, but that's true. The only reason you need Metzius, that's true. Right, that's it. Yeah, the only thing. That's, you're right about that. But the only reason why Yetzias Mitzrayim was performed, why God brought about a Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to demonstrate that idea for everybody. You see? But that's true. The idea is supposed to point to this concept that everything is constantly missing. That there is nothing which is not in anything, and we don't sense as a nace because we're comfortable with it. But since people find themselves comfortable, so that's why a nace really has to be performed in front of the entire people to demonstrate this idea. But that's the concept. Got to the question of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. That type of a question cannot be answered to our satisfaction if you're trying to answer it to our satisfaction. If you want to understand it in reality, yes, it's very nice. A person, so far as a person on a higher level, he has a higher perception, higher knowledge, gets closer to those answers. But to say that it should make sense to us, that would be absurd. Yes. That certain needs, certain needs God supplies us with, but certain needs He doesn't want us to satisfy. That's the emotion of Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is the Oved Avodah Zarah is the one that totally satisfies that need. See, an Oved Avodah Zarah, why is he Oved Avodah Zarah? Because he wants everything to make perfect sense to him. And that's why he has to establish an Avodah Zarah, which will, in his mind, satisfy all these things. So now he feels totally secure, he understands everything. You see? That Yahadus demands should be frustrated in us. Because that would be the total destruction of humanity. You see? I'm trying to tell you, that's why you have an Ibn Ezra like this, where he says, "Agalach lecha k'tzas asod," which means to say that even though we don't fully understand the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and others, we don't understand but we know, but man is demanded of man that he, even if he has a vague outline of how Hashgacha works, he should try to perceive it in a way that it's a game. We may not know the particulars of the Hashgacha, but to understand what the Hashgacha is and to have some concept of how it works, that's important for man. And so far as he partakes of that knowledge, that's the greatest benefit for man. I would say like this with regard to what Mr. Wise mentioned before, that it's true, it is a waste of time to go into particulars and trying to understand that. But a person is obligated to try to gain more knowledge in a general way of Hashgachas Hashem, the concepts of Hashgacha, the ideas of how the Hashgacha works, to study in Ibn Ezra and to understand that in a general way. That's an obligation, and that Yahadus demands that we do. Yahadus demands, contrary to Lahavdil other religions who try to simplify things and tell man not to delve, Yahadus maintains no. That's the Galasan, to be able to, the more we understand in a general way the concepts of Hashgacha, even though they're abstract and even though we don't fully comprehend the particulars, but the closer we get in understanding that there is a science of Hashgacha, that there is a system of reality, and it's not simply in a childish way, like a mystical type of thing, but it's a system of Chochmas Hashem, and we can approach it insofar as we have a Tzelem Elokim, that is a direct gain, and that is our obligation to involve ourselves and to delve into it. So to sum it up, you might say like this, that a person does not have the... See, a person doesn't want to feel he lives in a world that there's no... order to, okay? So, a lot of people in search of that order can't find it, and they simply say, that's it, they give up. You know, it's clear, Azar Hashem Azar, it's like Rambanza. Yadis does not satisfy a person in giving him a feeling that the world makes sense emotionally, as his emotions would desire. But it does give him the, use the word very loosely, comfort, so to speak, that it makes sense to a higher, there is a sense to it in reality. There is a sense to it in reality, you see? That is, in other words, that is the Yisod, and that's the Yisod of the Das. That the Yisod of the Das is that the universe, does it make sense? There's no answer that's comforting emotionally. That answer, yeah, this doesn't get. Not comforting emotionally. But it does give him the idea, you see. If you want to call it comfort, I mean, I don't know if it's not comforting emotionally, it's an interesting thing. But it does give him the concept that it is a universe that makes sense, you see. But not emotionally the way he would like it to make sense, but in a framework which is a part of in a framework which is in a framework which is a different dimension of which he can partake to a degree of that dimension. You see, in a dimension of which he can partake of, it does make sense. Okay, that's the answer. So what we're saying here is that the field, philosophically and even halachically, is that a person should summon all his emotional energies behind this concept, this dimension which perceives the reality. Now, when we say that this dimension perceives reality, what we mean is through a person has knowledge through Chochmas Torah, he has knowledge that there is a system of Hashgacha. And this knowledge tells him that since God relates to man, there's a system, so it has to all be rational. So there must be a rationale behind it. So he knows intellectually there has to be a rationale. And even though it goes against his emotional perceptions, he's feeling a sense of comfort, but that's the chiyuv. Chiyuv is that the emotion should be channeled behind the intellectual. Chochmas HaTorah demands that rationally he cannot deny the Hashgacha. Kesef. Shachu did yes and Chris Kesef. Okay. What Mendy said is right. You're right. The question of the Shach is a tremendous contradiction, because the Shach maintains that she doesn't have to be Choshesh for day 20 anymore. Once she misses day 20, she doesn't have to be Choshesh for day 40. Which would seem to indicate that there's no such thing as a day 40 once she misses day 20. Yet simultaneously maintains that if she misses three onos, that she's she removed the vest. He did that because the Torah equated the Torah equated the missing of three onos with the Riyas Shanu Shavos. It was forced into that position. But logically, it's a contradiction. So Mendy wanted to say that he's differentiating as follows, that he holds that the Yom HaRiyas Koveya, in terms of Yom HaChashash, he only go from the Yom HaRiyas. But if she misses three onos, that's a different phenomenon. If she missed three onos, so it's true there's no Yom HaChashash anymore, but the fact is she did miss three onos. It's true that's what the Shach meant, but it's not logical. It's not logical, because you can't differentiate between Yom HaChashash and between Akiras HaVest. It's the Mishnah. You can't differentiate. In other words, if you're going to tell me that it's Akiras HaVest, so you're going to tell me that day 40 is actively working in terms of Akiras HaVest, then it has to be Yom HaChashash. Can't differentiate between those two. Not Exeris HaKasav. Those Exeris HaKasav, you say Exeris HaKasav, Riyas Kaveh, the Yom HaChashash. And then, in terms of Akiras HaVest, however, it's different. But it's not Exeris HaKasav. The Yom HaChashash is all based on the vest. Not separate Exeris HaKasav. So you can tell me that 60 days is operative in terms of Akiras HaVest, so then it has to be functional in terms of creating the Yom HaChashash. It's impossible. According to Ravuna, there's no such thing as three onos anymore. We only go by Yom Maria. That's it. Shach doesn't work out. The Teres HaBayis is, we don't have those Dapim, you can't find it there. Well, yeah, that's $2,000. But in our printing, it's on page 28. Okay? It's Daf Yudala on the base. In the Bayis Shvi, Shah Shlishi. And it says like this. It's in the second column. He says, V'kaimalon kravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Listen to this. V'chi osa ravin v'chol nechusei omra kravuna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Hilkach ha'ishu shekav ves laflaga michof lachof v'shinzo lachamisha v'esrim chosheshes lachamisha v'esrim ule'esrim u'me'ezes mani ma'oneh ha'esrim shi'icho sheshes lo me'ez mani ma'oneh ha'esrim shi'icho sheshes lo mir'iyas hachamisha v'esrim v'lo mir'iyas ha'esrim shehi lemuda. Okay, which would mean to say the 20th. You see, Sheha'orach lo ha'yarog yilovo lepachos me'esrim. Okay? Because it never came less than 20. You just use it as a case. The iluzum mona esrim means mono esrim. And if you're recounting from mono esrim, nimtza shicho sheshes. Shema yagdim ha'orach lovo b'chamisha osar l'riyas ha'chamisha v'esrim. V'eino b'din, shezu shinso l'rachek, v'onu nochu shema t'karev l'chamisha osar. It's a funny kind of a Rashi. Why would you put it this way? That's the problem with the Taz and Shachar, the Shat and Rashi. All he should have said was, mipnei she'onu monin, Maria. Maria, what is he saying over here? He's saying, the reason why we don't count the 40th day is because you're going to be Makarev and she never saw less than 20. It's putting it in a crazy way. He just should have said very simply, the reason why, from which day does she count? From day 25. Why? Because the Pasuk has been ready to assure that the Yom Maria is Kaveya. That's it. What is he saying? The answer, I think, the answer to what he's saying is very simple. It's basically what we said in the tour. Now, what's the machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Greater of Yeshua? Machlokas like this. According to Rav Huna Greater of Yeshua, according to Rav Papa, let's take him first. According to Rav Papa, we say that there is no such thing as a shinui in Riyah by an Isha Sheyesh Laves. She's an Isha Sheyesh Laves, that means she sees every 20th day. You see? So now if she changes her Riyah, I don't say it's a shinui. She still is scheduled for 20. And the fact that she had a re on 25 doesn't mean anything. He doesn't allow for the concept of shinsa. You see? So what the Rashba says is, that's what the Rashba says. He says like this, but we pass like a funa bread of Rav Yeshua, which means that we allow for the concept of shinsa. Right? So therefore, when she saw on day 25, I say it was a shinui to day 25. Now, once I say that, so how could I say day 40? If I would be saying day 40, I'm going to be saying that she's Makarav Harias. We're trying to keep the best of 20, but she was shin, so to 25. You see? So therefore, he says, if you're going to look out for day 40, what's going to result is that you're being Makarav Harias. That's right. That's what he means. See? So what he's saying is that the Idetta Machlaikas Rav Papa Rav Huna Bar Rav Yehuda.
Okay?
It really supports the shot that we said in the Torah. That's the Machlaikas. Right. Now, let's try to work out the whole thing. Okay, the whole area. It's not that hard now. You have like this. The most basic machlokes is the machlokes from Rav Huna Greater of Yeshua and Rav Papa. That means if a woman has a vest, and then she has a different Riya, do I consider this Riya as a shinsa or not? Right? So we paskin like Rav Huna Greater of Yeshua that she was Mishana. Okay? She was Mishana. Now I have one question. What constitutes shinsa? Is it the absence of a riyah on day 20? Or is shinsa mean that she has to have another riyah? She has to have another riyah. Right? Okay? That's a machlokes rishonim. Okay? What's the nafkamina, which way I say? The nafkamina will be how I understand the halacha that from the brisa. However, on the brisa, on some adalah. If I say that shinso means, when do I recognize shinso? When she actually has a new riyah? I say now it was shinso. right? Mm-hmm. So then the last Leah that she missed, day 20, is nothing, and when she has it again on day 20, so then she's back to her original vest, right? In that case, there is no Allah.